It's wonderful how the American people display their sportsmanship.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, whenever you're listening to this. This is the Often Daunted Podcast, and after a long break, yes, it was vacation. It was actually two ear infections. I had one on the right side. It decided to creep over to the left, had me laid up for a week. I still went to work, still persevered. That's what we do here, as we are never daunted right now, even though this is the Often Daunted Podcast. I will be getting into Indiana's rebranding and other Indiana news that has dropped since the last time of our recording, and again, thank you so much for the patience. Along with the July 4th holiday and everything else, it was a busy last 2 weeks, and I just appreciate you guys for giving me the time to take my time in making this and getting that episode out for you. On this episode, as I do each episode, I will be getting into that latest Indiana news since our last time of recording, before getting into the national news and just news around the conference that would concern us. Following that, we will dive into a segment for the week, and this week's segment, I'm not going to have any guests on, I'm not going to have anything like that. It's just going to be me giving the single most likely reason for every other program in the Big Ten, the most likely reason they are to feel daunted at one point or another this season. I will be digging into each of those for the segment, and then, of course, we'll get you on out of here with a Hoosier history hit, as we always do. Again, thank you so much for giving me the listen. If you haven't subscribed to me, it's everywhere across all socials, at Often Daunted. I do appreciate the follow. Just passed a milestone this last week, and can't thank you guys enough for showing me love on there. Go ahead, everywhere at Often Daunted. Before really getting into anything, I just want to say cheers to any of you who had to persevere through that ridiculous power outage in Bloomington last week. Duke Energy, get it figured out, man. That's ridiculous that it took that long, that they had to call in that many people. Man, we don't have the infrastructure to handle a storm. It's Southern Indiana. Expect storms. Credit to all of you who persevered on that one. All right, let's get into the Indiana news. Nothing else. Let's go. Welcome to the first episode of the Often Daunted Podcast since the new, expanded, and all-encompassing Big Ten has been put into place. It's a new day. It's a new dawn. It's a new life here in the Big Ten. And you know what? I'm going to embrace it wholeheartedly. Welcome the West Coast. I just love the opportunity to beat another fan base down year after year. And with the latest rebranding that the Indiana Athletic Department has taken on, you know what? As much as this show is often daunted, I have to point out that title does not speak to the nature of the program, does not speak to the state of the program. That's more just, you know, all-encompassing. Often daunted is just me. It's my life. It's my, you know, day-to-day circumstance, you know? Life can be daunting. But as far as this athletic program, it truly is never daunted right now. Hashtag never daunted. Indiana Athletics has announced the rebranding, and I'm all for it. In case you couldn't tell, I thought that the whole daunted, you know, there was something there. It's the reason I called this show Often Daunted 2 years ago, and I can't blame Indiana for seeing a good thing and wanting to get the most out of it. The hashtag GoIU that it was before, that was so vanilla, so basic, so bland. It was gross. It was gross. And just seeing that, taking the Never Daunted hashtag, as much as it is a direct contradiction to the name of this show, and I don't know if it's, you know, maybe my show's getting a little more traction. Maybe, maybe somebody influenced this change, but I'm not going to say that the Often Daunted podcast started the Daunted movement, started the discussion of level of daunt in this administration, and they truly addressed it by making the official, you know, athletic department hashtag never daunted. Love it. Much welcomed. You know, this summer with this transfer portal, you can feel grumpy about, you know, what you think might happen, but man, why not just be never daunted with the rest of us? Right now, this program is never daunted. And until they give us a reason to be daunted, let's just leave it at that. Just let a good thing be good until it's not, guys. This summer, we're never daunted. All right. It absolutely was Indiana news for anybody listening to this, because you've obviously listened to Hoosier Hysterics if you've somehow found this show in the weeds. And I don't want to say, you know, you don't talk about another man's job, don't talk about another man's podcast, but Hoosier Hysterics, they truly made the rounds after that Woodson episode, just discussing the meeting behind closed doors. I'm not going to say too much about it, but it's a one-sided pity party. We only got half the story, and, I mean, Mike does not owe them the other half, that's for sure. If you can't tell by the tone of my voice on where I fell in the battle lines, that's, yeah. I mean, I respect the hell out of the show. Their interviews were great. I loved the guests they had on. But, yeah, the defamation work there with without him to defend himself. And why would he even, like, if they had him on to discuss it? Like, what? No, that ain't even, yeah, just ugly business all around. The nature of that whole release, if you ask me. Genuinely, again, love those guys' interviews. Love the insight that they give us to the program. But it looks like that insight is somewhat hampered now with Mike making sure that the guys aren't going to have anything to do with it. We'll see going forward if that rings true or if he kind of lets up a bit. But you guys all heard it if you're listening to my show. If you are a rabid listener to my show, you are a rabid listener to Indiana Basketball Podcast, and you've heard it. And while it was genuine, yeah, I respect the hell out of what those guys built with that show. I respect that, you know, the interviews they've had on are truly great. But I think Boiler Sexual put it best on X. Yeah, the Boilermaker put it best when he said this whole thing was a victim mentality. It was a biased recount of a private conversation with nothing good to say about an experienced coach. I mean, that absolutely rings true from my one and only listen of the ordeal. But yeah, go ahead and give them the listen if you'd like to. Yeah, that was a big day on X. And yeah, I wrote those initial thoughts prior to having some time to think on it. And after all that, it was a private conversation. It just seems really scumbaggedly. It seems really scumbaggy to, you know, air it out one-sidedly. But yep, that's all I'm saying on that. Never talk about another man's podcast. Let's go on to the next bit of Indiana news. Go celebrate a happy hour this week responsibly, folks. Actually, this was last week. Again, thank you for the time off with my two ear infections. Go celebrate a happy hour responsibly because just last week, the law allowing happy hours in Indiana has went into place. On July 4th, us Hoosiers were once again allowed to exercise the right to happy hour. Cheers to all those celebrating, and you know, cheers to those that don't, you know, do you. But I love laws that, you know what, kind of loosen the reins a little. You know, we can handle happy hours. Okay, I appreciate that this all went into place. Congrats to three-time Olympian and Hoosier Lily King for qualifying for the Olympics again 2 weeks ago in Lucas Oil. Per Sir Center on X, Indiana University has produced an Olympic diver in every summer game since 1964. And I have to say, that is pretty damn amazing. Look at the longevity of that Indiana swimming program. Credit to everyone top to bottom involved. This Indiana program is a wagon. You know, we don't owe it all to Mark Spitz. It's all these people. Go get him in Paris, Hoosiers. Just last week, we saw the announcement that Mackenzie Holmes will be taking a position as a graduate assistant for the Indiana women's basketball team. And I have to say, that is what a great decision. You know, Mackenzie Holmes, what her and Terry Moran did in tandem, because they truly did in tandem, something special in tandem here during Mackenzie's time. And I'm just over the moon to see that Indiana fans get to see Mackenzie Holmes continue to grow in her basketball career. If it isn't going to be on the court, you know, there still is that. She can very well find herself on the court. But if not, I'm more than happy to see her grow as a coach, grow as a figure on the sidelines here in Assembly Hall. Mackenzie Holmes, glad to have you back. Since our last time of recording, we had the official jersey number reveals for the Indiana Hoosiers this upcoming season. And just my thoughts on, you know, some of the ones are returning. Of course, there's Gabe Cups rocking number 2 again. We got Mbaka with 21. We got Renew with 5. Trey with 32. Just wanted to share some thoughts on Miles Rice taking number 1. Perfect. You know, if Miles Rice is being given the keys to the kingdom, it's going to be his team to do with what he wants when, you know, he's given the reins at point guard. Number 1, Indiana, that's an Indiana point guard number. As much as I loved it on Kalel, it's going to look great on Miles. Ja'Kai Newton, rocking number 0. You know, X wore it well, but man, as the president of the Ja'Kai Newton fan club, Ja'Kai, bro, you didn't have to pick the toughest number there is, man. These people were trying to catch them off guard. If Ja'Kai Newton, you know, with his offseason gains, if he's stepping onto that floor as a sophomore, like, this guy is not, nobody's going to know who he is just because he was off the floor the entire Big Ten season, the entire all of last season. But just him taking the floor in the number 0, it's going to be an intimidating look. You can say the numbers don't matter, but they absolutely do if you know anything about basketball. And Ja'Kai Newton rocking number 0, it's going to be tough. And I love the choice. I love the choice by Ja'Kai. Kanan Carlisle rocking number 9 in Seems like a bit of a wild card number. I like it for who could potentially just, you know, be the wild card of this squad. This guy, he has highs, he has lows, but man, when he's on, he's on. Number 9 could be dangerous for our guy. Bryson Tucker, number 8. I always think, whenever I do a created player in my whatever game I may be playing, whenever there's a guy that you need to enter in number 4, it's either 5 or 8. I respect the choice by Bryson to go with number 8. It's a strong number. It's like Ja'Kai's 2 zeros, but stacked on top of each other. And lastly, Ballo, 11. He's going to look tall as hell in 11. Those ones stretching up, like a 7-footer can look 7'3" in number 11. I respect the choice from Ballo. I mean, it was his number at Arizona. Just give it to him again. I love it. All in all, great choices all around. Luke Good, number 10. You know, you just got to... Number 10 for your spot-up shooter checks out for me. I don't know why it makes sense, but it makes sense. Yeah, this is the kind of in-depth, analytical, numerical analysis you get here on the Often Daunted podcast. Since our last time of recording, we saw the basketball tournament selection show give Indiana's Assembly Ball team their first game matchup. On July 19th, number 1-seeded Assembly Ball will take on the number 8-seeded The Crew, Valpo's alumni team, in the first round of the Butler region. That Butler region, there's plenty of names to go through, but I really want to talk about, you know, our foursome. So who we would play first round and second round. They really knew what they were doing with this seeding, guys. In our half of the Butler bracket is Assembly Ball as the 1-seed, The Crew as the 8, Men of Mackey as the 4, and Fort Wayne Champs as the 5. Now, Fort Wayne Champs, I looked them up. I can't tell what their relation to Fort Wayne is. Some of them might have been Mad Ants. Some of them, I know the coach was a Mad Ant at one time, but other than that, don't know what the Fort Wayne relationship is there. I would love to be informed if somebody would love to reach out to me on X and let me know. But they made sure to put Men of Mackey and Assembly Ball playing each other in the round of 32. I respect the choice. There will be bad blood that game. There will. I know the Men of Mackey team isn't quite as alumni heavy as our Assembly Ball team is this year, because that Assembly Ball team, they're really going out to get the guys that, you know, Indiana fans would love to come see play again. And credit to them for doing that. That earned them the 1-seed, man. They're going out there and getting guys like Yogi Ferrell. That's top talent in this type of tournament. And just like last week, while I was scrolling the Assembly Ball roster on the basketball tournament site, I saw a name, and I had not seen it announced that it definitely warranted fanfare if it were to be announced. Race Thompson was listed on the roster for the Assembly Ball squad, and I just want to know what's going on. Is he in, barring like any opportunities presented to him, you know, before then or what? If Race Thompson is on this Assembly Ball team, they keep adding guys that I'm like, if this guy's on, they go out and get him. If this guy, I'm all there. They go out and get him. Like, Race Thompson would be just such an awesome addition for any just Hoosier fans to go out and support in the middle of the summer when we got nothing else to do, man. Give me some Race Thompson basketball, please. I love seeing these guys suit up in the candy stripes, even if it is in these alumni tournaments. As for current Hoosiers, pretty big news for Kenan Carlisle, as he was invited to the extremely selective, invite-only Chris Paul Elite Guard Camp. This is a big camp to be invited to, as the only other players going are North Carolina's RJ Davis, Tyrese Proctor from Duke, Hunter Salas from Wake Forest, Dior Johnson from UCF, Cam Jones from Marquette, Tony Perkins from Missouri, like Xavier Lee from Princeton, Zion James from Duke. These are some of the top guards around the nation. Invite only, very selective pool get to go to this, and just awesome for Kenan Carlisle to be invited, and awesome to see that the talent that we've been told, like, it's recognized by others. This kid's got some explosive talent, and Chris Paul obviously agrees. This week, Indiana released a statement regarding a promotion I think a lot of us will endorse. In a release from Indiana University, Bloomington, Indiana University said, Indiana University men's basketball head coach Mike Woodson announced the addition of Adam Howard to become the program's assistant director of recruiting and operations. Adam comes from a great basketball pedigree. His father, Todd, is a legendary coach in the state. Adam has been a great asset for us in recruiting, and we are excited to keep him on our staff as we continue to push this program further. Howard previously served 2 seasons as a graduate manager for the Hoosiers following a 4-year stint as a student manager. The Indianapolis native served as Indiana's head manager his senior year. Adam Howard, credit to you, man. Your hard work, all the recruits, the connections you've made have just paid dividends. It's nice to see Indiana is a target for the top talent out there again. And Adam Howard, your work is like no small part in that. So just thank you. And I'm so happy you're sticking around, man. We if we don't have any promotions to give you, we will make up positions to give you, man. Just stay in the building, Adam. CBS Sports released their latest mock draft for the next NBA draft, and the Hoosiers currently have 2 names projected for the first round. Right now, CBS Sports has Mackenzie Mbako going at number 22. and newcomer and Chris Paul elite guard camp invitee, Kenan Carlisle finds himself at number 19. Really awesome to see these guys get this kind of hype heading into this season. And Bacco especially, like, Kenan Carlisle, awesome to see you, man. You're a new Hoosier. Like, I love that. You're already in, dude. But Mbako's like, he's been already in. So, like, I'm just so happy to see McKenzie getting some love from those NBA stat heads out there. I saw Cam Christie get drafted, and I was like, man, thank you, McKenzie. Thank you for coming back. If he's going there, McKenzie for sure could have went first round. Don't tell me he couldn't have. He might not have, but Indiana's rocking with two potential first-round draft picks. I like to see that. Oh, I like that. Starting off the Hoosiers in the NBA bit this week with just the draft. You know, we saw some Big Ten names go. Four Big Ten players, to be precise. Zach Edey going number 9 overall. Reach. No, I'm just kidding. Reach, though. Kalel Ware, number 15. Terrence Shannon Jr., number 27 by the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I just got to say, credit to the Timberwolves. I think him at 27 is just a really great pick for him to have the fortitude to go through that season with with all just the outside noise that he did. Yeah, Terrence Shannon Jr. is a dog, and him at 27, steal. Minnesota had Cam Christie, like I said before. Cam Christie got selected to the Clippers with the 46th overall pick. Following that draft, Hoosiers in the NBA, Kalel Ware made his debut for the Miami Heat as part of their squad for the California Classic taking part over the holiday. And if you saw the California Classic ad, you were like, oh, this is a pretty funny ad, because they initially had Trace Jackson Davis on the ad, because of course they did. They're going to sell to the Indiana Hoosier fans. They knew that Trace Jackson Davis was selected to the USA select team and he would be practicing against our Olympic team that day. But nonetheless, they made sure to, hey, maybe he'll show up, Hoosier fans. Maybe we can get some Hoosier fans in the building. I love national advertisements aimed at Hoosiers. They know exactly what they're doing. After his first game where he had 12 points, 6 rebounds, 5 blocks, he was just far more reliable. I mean, not far more reliable. I just far more explosive. He popped off the screen and really made an impression on, you know, his new fans, his Miami fans out there. 26 points, 11 rebounds that very next night. Kalel Ware taking the NBA by storm. Yep, you heard it here first. It's the year of Kalel in the NBA. Rookie of the Year campaign starts now. Like, at whatever about his first game, like, through two games, that is 19 points. That is 19 points and 8.5 rebounds and almost 3 blocks. Impressive. Impressive from the former Hoosier. From the Hoosier, what am I talking about? Once always. Since our last time of recording, some older Hoosiers have made moves and or, you know, signed contracts, including OG signing what is the largest contract a Hoosier has ever signed in the NBA, looking at about $42 million a year now with his 5-year, $212 million contract, and good goddamn, that is a lot of money. Oh my God, OG Anunoby. Great to see Hoosiers hauling checks like that. By every measure that I can tell, it looks like New York loves them. I'm glad they do. Quite frankly, I think everybody looks better in the state of Indiana, you know, in a Pacers uniform. I'm not even a big NBA fan. I just don't want these guys to go anywhere. But, OG, just so awesome to see him sign such a massive deal. Cody Zeller traded to Atlanta. We all saw that news. Miami, maybe possibly with that trade. We saw Miami went out and signed Thomas Bryant to a 1-year, $2.8 million deal. And another Hoosier that was able to sign another deal in the NBA, Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon was able, since our last time of recording, Eric Gordon was able to sign a 1-year minimum to extend his already extensive NBA career with the Philadelphia 76ers last week. Eric Gordon and the Bahamas seem to be rolling and look poised to make a berth in the Olympics this summer. And I think it's pretty crazy to see the Indiana kid playing on Jamaica, but I mean, what are the rules for your nationality in the Olympics these days? Eric Gordon is utilizing his mom's roots in Nassau and making the jump to represent Bahamas with a pretty fun team to watch. Along on that Bahamas team with Eric Gordon this year is DeAndre Ayton, Buddy Hield, and Arkansas's own VJ Edgecombe. That is the, you know, McDonald's All-American coming in. Pretty crazy to see him on that team with NBA talent. He is one of those freshmen who is going to come on the scene and make an impact immediately. Thank God it isn't for an opponent in our conference. And I brought up the USA select team before because that's why Trace wasn't at the Summer League games. But yeah, Trace Jackson Davis was selected to that USA men's select team to, you know, scrimmage the official USA Olympic team. And that big honor for our guy. Big honor. Named to that select team with him were Jalen Duren, Langston Galloway, Nigel Hayes Davis, Jaime Jaquez Jr., Brandon Miller, Trey Murphy, Keegan Murray, Brandon Podzemski, Micah Potter, Peyton Pritchard, Jabari Smith Jr., Jalen Suggs, Amen Thompson, and most surprisingly of all, but he really did make an impact and everybody, the internet's going nuts about it, Cooper Flagg, 17-year-old. Again, he reclassified up in age to, you know, just take the world by storm a year earlier. And yeah, it looks like by every measure, he is going to dominate for Duke next year. So look forward to hating a Duke white guy. That's going to be so much fun for all of us. Last NBA note. The Atlanta Hawks have hired Parker Stewart as part of the development, advanced scouting, and video teams. Parker Stewart had said, although I miss playing, I'm excited for this great opportunity, and I'm looking forward to starting my career on the other side. God is great. Parker Stewart, great to see him, you know, really attacking the next chapter of his career, and hope to see great things out of him in the NBA, you know, professional landscape. Go take the, you know, coaching trees by storm. All right, just a few notes on recruiting. I've said it on the show before. I'm going to say it again. We learned from last summer. We learned from Liam McNeely. Recruiting, what's there? I mean, nothing really matters until the finish line. But here are some notes I took. Here are some notes I took nonetheless. Jalen Harrelson will be taking his visit to Bloomington August 31st. And just this last week, we saw him make his Team USA debut with Team USA, like U17, absolutely winning gold and just decimating the competition. Good for them. You know, making USA basketball, really living up to the name. Right after his visit in Bloomington, he will be taking visits at both Notre Dame and Michigan State the following weeks. Since our last recording, Trent Sisley has announced he's down to his final five schools, those being Iowa, Indiana, Notre Dame, Michigan State, and Purdue. And looking at that final five, I have to say, Mr. Sisley, I respect the hell out of that collection. That collection, that Midwestern collective right there you've got yourself, that is evidence to me that you are a Midwestern man, that is about principles. Your family first. You want to keep it near them. You want to keep it near home just to keep them involved. And I respect the hell out of it. Go to Indiana. Family first. Love that shit. Trent Sisley. Another name since our last time of recording, Anthony Thompson has taken a visit to Bloomington. Five-star Anthony Thompson. And, you know, that it's just the talent, man. We need to get talent in this building. We need the right talent, of course. But Anthony Thompson, another name that had made his way to Bloomington since our last time of recording. And yeah, nothing really else on recruiting at the moment. Again, I'm not going to be nitpicking as much as I did prior to Liam McNeely because now I know nothing matters. I would have lost my mind in our recruitment of Bryson Tucker if we were going that hard, but I mean, nonetheless, we got him. So until these guys are on campus, we're just going to make little notes on the recruiting game. Because even then, when the guys are on campus, ask Purdue. Something can always happen. And lastly, on the Hoosiers, the schedule. Duh, we saw the non-conference schedule cemented, officially released just today at this time of my recording. With that being the November 6th game against SIU, the November 10th game against Eastern Illinois, the November 16th game against South Carolina, November 21st against UNC Greensboro, November 27th through 29th, the Battle for Atlantis, December 3rd, Sam Houston State, December 6th, Miami, Ohio, December 21st, UT Chattanooga, and December 28th, Winthrop. Yes, it is a cupcake schedule other than the Battle for Atlantis. And after sending it out for a vote at Often Daunted, if you're on X again, go give me a follow. I do appreciate it, and I'll give you a follow back. And yeah, I sent it out there. 58% of people apparently hated the non-conference schedule. And I just want to say, don't hate, you guys. Don't hate the schedule. Did we learn nothing of how important that these games are? We need to make the net dance for us. We need to absolutely bludgeon these teams. Because as much as it is winning close, good games, it seems like winning blowout, bad games, it just is so much better for the non-conference schedule. That being said, we need to see this Indiana team blow out bad teams. With the current roster built the way it is, I fully expect this Indiana team to do just that. But nonetheless, if we're trying to win the net, like, you have to play the game. And I like the way they set this up for us. I do. I might be in the, the minority in that opinion, but I think Indiana has learned from last season, knows what these games need to look like, and knows the value of being able to get these games to look the way you want them to. Blowouts can look so good for the numbers. And they can say, oh yeah, we're looking at head-to-head all they want. We're looking at the names. They are looking at the collection of numbers because the dorks have taken the game. They controlled it. They are the gatekeepers now. And you have to play the game, and I genuinely feel like this is Indiana playing ball. It's sad to see, but I think that more schools may go this route. I don't think people are going to be looking for opportunities to, you know, really have close ground and pound defensive battles when they could have blowouts that just make them look great on paper. I like it. I respect it. And I'm going to support it because hashtag never daunted. Am I right? I do want to say shout out to Steve Goldman on X for making the point to me that, well, he made the point. I saw it that with the new schools entering the fray, this non-con will be all but an afterthought come January, because we will have somewhat of a non-con feel in those games. Those are unfamiliar fan bases, unfamiliar arenas. It's going to be totally new. They're definitely going to feel a little bit more non-conference than they do conference right out the gate. Credit to Steve Goldman, man. Sharing that perspective really, put my mind at ease a bit. And very, very last thing on the Hoosiers. I just wanted to share words, rumblings out of camp. You know, I want to say I enjoy how it appears in the shallowest outsider's perspective that this team looks to be getting along. It seems like Miles has really taken to this team and is really finding his place in Indiana. You know, I'm saying that again. Admittedly, in the most superficial 10,000-foot view, it looks like Miles Rice is really finding comfort in what he needs to be for this program this season. Getting him with as much eligibility as we did, he has the opportunity to still be a Hoosier legend. Like, despite where his story started, he has enough time to build an actual, like, legendary status as a Hoosier. And I think his natural charisma makes him such a nice piece to have at this point guard position. You want your point guard to have charisma. It just makes everything flow better when the guy making all the decisions, when the guy running the offense, is likable. It really is. And I'm glad to see from this totally ignorant outsider perspective, it looks like Miles is that type of guy. All right, let's get you on to the conference news out there, some of the national news around the country. Some conference news out there. I'm just shouting it out because I'm a T.Y. Hilton super fan. Congrats to Wisconsin Badgers for pitching. Yeah, I'm going to give the Wisconsin Badgers some praise here on the Often Daunted podcast for picking up Eugene Hilton. Awesome commitment video on the football side of things that I just wanted to shout out. It was great to see our guy T.Y. in full dad mode jumping around behind Eugene. Godspeed, Hiltons. Unless you're in Bloomington, then you're going down. Tuesday, June 18th. Yes, it has been that long since I last recorded. Kanon Catchings committed to BYU. And, you know, the latter days paid out the ass for this one, and good for them. They are really committing to being a Western basketball powerhouse. This is a big get. This Kanon Catchings guy, he's going to come on to any campus he arrives on and be an absolute game changer. He might be able to take games over. This guy has that kind of potential. You know, if he was going anywhere in our conference, I would be like, whoa, that's a team to look out for. He will make any team he's on better. This is a big-time game-changing freshman. Not everyone can pull those in. Credit to the BYU Cougs for getting it done. And credit to Painter for honestly sounding like dragging Kanon Catchings publicly was his move. He publicly just gave the breakdown of what happened between Kanon Catchings and him, and just said, oh, and then he wanted to come back, and I said no, and people were saying, you know, go paint go for this, but I don't know. The whole way at that interview, he's basically just condemning the way any player with top talent in today's world would operate. I mean, it's a bold strategy. It has worked for Purdue. And it's a bold strategy that spits in the face of, you know, the modern landscape of college basketball. But they've also been able to do that because they've had Zach Edey. So maybe this Daniel Jacobs, maybe he can be that for them. But, I mean, we might see what that strategy yields without Zach Edey this season. Since it is an away game this year, this is news, as Oregon has unveiled their new floor, and I appreciate the toned-down colors in this new floor. They toned up the scale of the colors. It's a little lighter, a little more pastel. It's lighter, easier on the eyes, far more palatable than it's been. It's still an abhorrent abomination of Technicolor and does not belong in the basketball court, but it's better than it was when it was just the dark green forest color. So I do appreciate them saying, hey, we respect... You know, this isn't our home just yet. We will bend a little to the tradition, the class, the prestige of the Big Ten. Appreciate the good luck, Oregon. Some news. Yeah, again, speaking to the latter days. Latter days in the news. You know, making waves in the transfer portal, making waves with Kyle Filipowski. Apparently, he was alleged. Like, I'm not going to get you can find the story everywhere. Allegedly, Kyle Filipowski was groomed in a mid-20-something with a master's, went to prom with him. Lock that woman up. And I don't mean lock her up, Kyle Filipowski. I mean lock her up. Like, public servants. You know, I'm always skeezed out by the 20-something that would date the girls in high school. Always, always. Sorry, if you're one of those guys listening, skeeze. Rarely ever have I heard the other way around. But hands down, this is like having a master's and going to prom as a girl is the biggest loser chick energy I've ever witnessed. I cannot believe this story. There are people who have covered it far better who have a lot more to say about it. You can go check them out. But man, Kyle Filipowski being groomed by a woman with a master's in high school, cutting off his family, and now playing for the Utah Jazz is, yeah, it's quite the story. And it wouldn't be really news for this show if I didn't have to say, as much as I want to lock that woman up, we as a program owe her everything. Okay? The reason we got Mackenzie Mbako is because Kyle Filipowski saw NBA lottery status and said, nah, I'm good. And I have to imagine it wasn't Kyle Filipowski who said, nah, I'm good. It was his 28-year-old girlfriend, allegedly, or something like that, who said, nah, I'm good. So, I mean, credit to her. Thank you, Kyle Filipowski's older girlfriend, for getting me Mackenzie Mbako. I'm sorry that it had to come at the cost of Kyle Filipowski's, you know, just most Kyle Filipowski's career trajectory, but I appreciate it nonetheless. Lastly, getting into some of the preseason projections, where they may have shifted, where we're looking at, how we're looking. And the latest bracketology from Lenardi saw Indiana stay at a 4 seed, with Purdue also staying as a 4 seed, despite the fallout of the Kanan Catchings decommitment. Which didn't make much sense to me, because everybody who's been hyping up Purdue this season was hyping up that, you know, Kanan Catchings was going to come and make a big contribution, but nonetheless, they're still there. Gary Parrish and CBS's latest top 25-1 had the Hoosiers at number 18. And I have to say, that is something of note, because Gary Parrish is usually an anti-Hoosier dick to us. So, allegedly. So, this ranking is... I have to give Mr. Parrish some credit for just, you know, not denying the inevitable. Making sure to get the Hoosiers on here. He wanted so badly to not put us on here. He does every time. He wants so badly not to rank the Hoosiers. But he had to, saying, this ranking is based on Mike Woodson's Hoosiers returning 3 of the top 4 scorers, specifically Malik Renew, Mackenzie Mbako, and Trey Galloway, from a team that finished tied for 6th in the Big Ten. The additions of Miles Rice, Washington State, Umar Ballo, Arizona, Kanan Carlisle, Stanford, and Luke Goody, Illinois, from the transfer portal means Indiana is adding 4 experienced pieces, 3 of whom just spent a season starting in the Pac-12. Other Big Ten teams on Gary Parrish's and CBS latest top 25 were Purdue at number 12, Ohio State at number 15, which I don't get, and Rutgers at number 23. And while I have nothing but praise for Gary Parrish's latest change of heart on the Hoosiers, I have to say Bart Torvik is an idiot. His system is an idiot, allegedly, and there are not 5 better teams in this conference next season. New preseason rankings out for Torvik, and he has 5 teams ahead of this Indiana roster in the Big Ten. Bananas, and that's as much as I'm going to go into that, because he's an idiot for that latest ranking. He is. Announced just today at the time of this recording, Dan Hurley has a new $50 million contract extension that will keep him in stores through the 2029-2030 basketball season. And people were like, whoa, $20 million less and 1 year less in stores. Worth more than, you know, that's crazy. And I'm, he, like, you know, comparing the Lakers job, saying, how could he turn down $70 million for 50? Location, location, location is how he can turn down $70 million for 50? I'm sorry, but I am in Dan Hurley's camp, where 6 years at 70 in Los Angeles looks a lot less attractive to me than 50 in Storrs, Connecticut. I'm sorry, for $50 million in Storrs, Connecticut, you are legally whatever. You are legally the king of Storrs, Connecticut. If only we could be so lucky to lord over a population as large as Storrs, Connecticut. You know, in LA, he is another fish. In Storrs, he is the whale. Your dollar can stretch so much further in Storrs, Connecticut than it can in Los Angeles, California. I'm with Dan Hurley all day. I'm taking that contract before the LA one. Just a little recruiting from the conference to note. Illinois got a massive win on the trail, getting the commitment from top recruit Will Riley. The top 10 recruit in the class of 2025 has committed to join the Fighting Illini. But the Illini also saw Jeremiah Fears decommit, who they were massively, you know, excited to come in that class of 2025. But it looks like he may be reclassifying to this year, and Illinois doesn't think he can make an immediate impact, so he might be looking elsewhere. Whatever the case may be, Jeremiah Fears, who at the time was the biggest commitment, or one of the largest commitments to Illinois, decommitted. So, yeah, just something of note. All right, we're going to get you Burke's Big Five really quick, and then we will get you onto the segment after a word from me. Burke's Big Five for this week is Burke's Big Five Big Ten Fictitious Alumni. Burke's Big Five Big Ten Fictitious Alumni. These are 5 individuals from fiction, American literary fiction, American media, who are Big Ten alumni. And for the first selection, my honorable mention will be Mr. Magoo, the 1950s animated curmudgeon. He is a Rutgers alumni. You know, the more you know. Now for the actual Big Five, number 5. You know, this guy, he went to Harvard, yes, for his undergrad, and that's how I would usually like to keep this parameters going. But he got his MBA in Ann Arbor. and I'm going to count him as a Big Ten alumni because I think he's one of the better characters in American media. I mean, he's just fun as hell to watch. Ari Gold. Ari Gold, Big Ten alumni, number five. Number four, Cam Tucker, starting center for the Fighting Illini. That is Cam Tucker of Modern Family. At number three, we have Leslie Knope. Leslie Knope, Indiana own. She is a Hoosier through and through. I like to tell myself Parks and Rec is one of my favorite shows because it's one of the best comedies out there, not just because it takes place in Indiana, but god dang it if I don't love it a little bit more because it takes place in Indiana. Leslie Knope, and actually, like, as if you're talking fictitious Big Ten alumni, let's talk about where her career goes. This woman becomes the institutional backbone of this state, and glad to see she's a Hoosier, as dorky and, you know, uptight as she is. Leslie Knope, Hoosier alumni. Number two was going to put Dana Scully here, X-Files fame, for the for a Maryland representation. But I'm going to use Liz Lemon for that Maryland representation. 30 Rock fame, Liz Lemon. I'm going to put her at my number two selection on 30 Rock. Fantastic show. Side note, another 30 Rock lead character, Jenna Maroney. Northwestern grad. Big Ten alumni all throughout American fiction for you. And number one. These guys are, number one is two guys again, because it's they're pretty much the same guy. Johnny Utah and or Shane Falco. Both legendary Buckeye QBs. Both Keanu Reeves. One saving the world, one saving American football. At number one is Johnny Utah slash Shane Falco slash Keanu Reeves. That was Burke's Big Five, fictitious Big Ten alumni. All right, after this little word from myself, we are going to get into the segment for this week, that being the most likely reason to be daunted for each Big Ten program this season, and then we'll get you on out of here with a Hoosier history hit. All right, guys, this is this time of the show where I would put a sponsor if I was to, you know, eventually get big enough to have a sponsor, but until then, I'm just going to use this time to say thank you to all of you who are giving me the time out of your day to give me a listen, all of you who are engaging online with me, giving me a follow, whatever the case may be. I just appreciate you giving me the time, your energy, your attention, and I just want to say, yeah, it does not go unappreciated. So, yeah, for that appreciation, I just want to drop it all again. Across all socials, at Often Daunted, go ahead and give me a follow. If you haven't subscribed to the show, please feel free to do so. Doesn't cost you anything, only helps my ego. If you do like the show, please feel free to leave a 5-star review. Definitely helps out my ego again. And, yeah, doesn't cost you anything. I promise you guys, this costs you nothing. And, yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you, guys. All right. With the hashtag Never Daunted branding taking place and, you know, really taking the Indiana interwebs by storm, I thought on this week, you know, me playing catch up, me, as much as this program's never daunted, I've been pretty daunted these last 2 weeks, so I just wanted to go ahead and have a little fun in this one, sharing just what the reason that each of our Big Ten opponents at one time or another throughout the season may become just severely daunted. So without further ado, let's get into it. You know, I'm going to start with the West Coast because I'm going to get them out of the way. They deserve the least of my respect. They're new here. The new bloods, they need to earn it. So first up, Washington. I'm going to go through this quickly. They're not going to be too long. We're not going to be here all day breaking down each 18 team, tearing them apart. Just given, you know, the prime reason I think most of them will be daunted. Washington. All right. Great Osibor is making $2 million. And he's never played Big Ten basketball. I promise it will be more difficult to rebound in the Big Ten at his size. And, you know, Danny Sprinkle in his first season, 8 incoming transfers with the first-year head coach. Washington is going to be mad daunted this season. The worst part is their fans are going to be mad daunted with, you know, great Osibor being anything less than Hall of Fame Osibor making $2 million. You can say it's the Wild West and it's crazy times, but, you know, these rich guys, they want ROI. They want return on investment. And, yeah, I think Washington's due for daunt. Now, why will Oregon be daunted? Let's talk about Oregon. I'm hoping that Raheem Moss can come into Oregon as, you know, they're one of their premier transfers and prove that MAC numbers just don't transfer. RJ Dennis admittedly did a bit last season to help the MAC's case for, you know, transferring up, but still. I'm really hoping that Raheem Moss's MAC numbers do not translate to the next level. And another reason they could be daunted is Oregon is losing quite a bit of production and will be looking for a lot of steps forward by their young guys in tandem with getting their transfers to hit. The introduction to the Big Ten may be Dana Altman's third season in 4 years not making the tournament. And if you're telling me Dana Altman isn't making the tournament 3 seasons out of 4, I have to say that is a daunted Dana Altman. Me, I like daunted Dana Altmans. They lose, like, number 15 picks in the draft. That's where we get our, you know, NBA-caliber talent from daunted Danas. Now, for UCLA, I have to admit, Mick Cronin is finally coaching in the conference he was always meant to. You know, so that does help them for the less likely to be daunted factor. But UCLA, you went out and got Sky Clark. You know, I get he's coming home. I get that he's an LA kid. But man, don't think us in the Big Ten forget how you got that NIL bag. You saw probably Terrence's bag and said, I want more bag as a freshman who didn't prove shit before going to Louisville. Must have been him wanting to work with, you know, the best in the biz in that scenario. Am I right? It's just Sky Clark is a red flag to me personally and a reason for UCLA to be daunted. USC, I am not sold on Muscle Magic. I think Muscle Magic will be anything but. Harrison Hornery, never heard of him, right? Yeah, I don't blame you. But Harrison Hornery is the only returning individual, like, is the only singular being returning to the building. You're talking staff, you're talking players. That's it. Harrison Hornery. Harrison Hornery has 3.3 points per game returning to the program. This is going to be a muddled mess, all trying to find their sea legs together, and I'm just ready to beat the hell out of Musselman. Daunted. Nebraska. Let's talk about why Nebraska is going to be daunted. Nebraska is losing so damn much. I was depending on Rink Mass to provide like stability and be like, be the guy there. You know, he runs that offense, I think, in a very TJD light manner. TJD light, not like light. Diet TJD is what I'm talking. But nonetheless, just absolutely stabilizing force in the entire game plan. But with his season already closed due to knee surgery, without Rink Mass, it will just take a hero to reveal himself for this season not to potentially fall off the rails and absolutely land in daunted territory. Bryce Williams and Juwan Gary are both great pieces. I only ever speak volumes to what Juwan Gary brings to his side, but unfortunately those two alone are just not enough. Daunted. Minnesota, you're up next. Ben Johnson at one time had Minnesota as the program on the rise. Losing Cam Christie, Pharrell Payne, and Elijah Hawkins, all painful. What will have them daunted? The single most daunting factor of the Minnesota basketball program is going to be the thought that any hint of promise in their younger players, they're gone. I'm sorry, Minnesota. If you have a guy worth a sniff, he's gone. Their entire fan base is due for daunt in just how they're, any moment a guy looks promising, they are at risk of going off the rails for fear of losing him. And if they aren't, they have no idea what's going on. Now, Iowa. You know, Fran McCaffrey, if you ask me, he's lost his fastball. He's getting lapped a bit. Iowa will have shooting because Iowa will always have shooting. With Peyton Sanford coming back, they definitely got a boost to the roster. But Fran's own blood wants out of town. I have a feeling the NIL game and Fran's inability to capitalize on it after losing guys like Tony Perkins to Mizzou may lead to a rather daunted program this season. And honestly, unless NIL's adjusted for Iowa in the seasons to follow. Wisconsin. Wisconsin lost a lot in AJ Story and Chucky Hepburn both leaving, but they are returning Klesmet, Crowell, and Blackwell. And I really think that, you know, Blackwell can take a step and do something of significance this season. But both Klesmet and Crowell really took advantage of the attention that the likes of Chucky Hepburn and AJ Store commanded from defenses. And I just can't see Klesmet getting the looks he had this season at, like, without AJ Store. And of course, like, if Blackwell's sophomore step is at all subpar and lacks the development most think there could be there, this Wisconsin roster is just currently set up to be fairly daunted. I think Blackwell can do it, but man, the way this Wisconsin team's currently set up, unless Blackwell just, you know, destroys the expectations for a sophomore leap, it looks like a fairly daunting season. Northwestern, why would you be daunted? Because Boo Booey's gone. As there was Northwestern basketball before Boo Booey, there will be Northwestern basketball after Boo Booey. Okay? As much as people like Ty Berry and the thought of, you know, Brooks Barnheiser really taking this conference by storm, I think you guys are going to be sliding back to the mean. And finding yourself, honestly, where you belong. Northwestern, daunted. All right, Illinois. Why will Illinois be daunted this season? Because look at all the production they have to replace. Yeah, there's no easier time to replace it than the transfer portal. But man, there was a time where we lost that many, you know, real contributors to the bottom line. And I think Illinois, I think they're going to be right up there fighting for it. But how could they be daunted? You know, those transfers take a while to adjust, to get their legs. And we had Tyler from the Wild Bags on this podcast. And he had some interesting things to say about Kylan Boswell and his nightlife, but allegedly. And that could be very daunting. Maybe the champagne nightlife can get the best of this team. I could see that being a daunting factor of this squad. Beside the fact that they have to replace Terrence Shannon, they have to replace Damask, they have to replace Coleman Hawkins production, they have to replace all those guys. And as a guy who has been in the position of being the transfer portal, will solve it. That, like, it doesn't always. Daunted. All right, why will Michigan State be daunted? I mean, Izzo's minute distribution, his lack of willingness to really go get guys in the portal. How will Michigan State feel daunted this season? They are losing a hell of a lot of production, and they went out and got Freddie Fiddler. Frankie Fiddler, one of the two. Whatever. They lost a whole hell of a lot, and they didn't go out and get a whole bunch. So I have a feeling that could lead to a few daunting moments this season for the Spartans. for the factor most likely to daunt the Michigan Wolverines this season, I'm looking at the easy option. I'm going to take the easy out. It's going to be something with academics. It's going to be something with admissions. Whatever the case may be, Michigan's athletic department is devoted to, you know, sticking to the letter of the law for their academics, and I have to imagine that has to be a daunting force to work against for Dusty May. The Buckeyes, why would they be daunted? They are relying on a whole, like, we're bringing in guys to play key roles, but they're bringing in guys to play everything. They lost Roddy Gale to Michigan. You're like most likely to be most daunting aspect of their season would be losing to Michigan and Roddy Gale, like dropping like 30 on them, which like Roddy Gale at times can do that. Catch him on the right night, Roddy Gale might drop 30 on you. Catch Roddy Gale on the right night in Michigan after having left Ohio State now with a chip on his shoulder, because I'm sure Buckeye fans were very friendly to the guy who committed to Michigan after leaving Ohio State. Yeah, I could see that being a very daunting aspect of their season. Another daunting aspect is just, you know, the real first season of the Deebs. How does John Deeba fit into this Big Ten landscape? You know, he rode the highs. He rode that intramural boost or that interim boost just to the end of the season, and really had built something to, it was enough to get him the job. So credit to him there. But yeah, I could see how as daunting as all the travel could be for these new teams, like yeah, a whole season of this may be a little daunting for Deebler. You know, first time out. Penn State. Why will they be daunted? Now, Penn State also falls in that window of schools like Minnesota in my mind. I think if the right player went to Penn State and really balled, I think he'd be gone from Penn State the next season. Ace Baldwin Jr. is a reliable point guard, but man, when he's not converting those shots, it's a tough time watching him force things. For those reasons alone, I think that it's Penn State. When's the last time? Maybe Booty Ball. Booty Ball was their least daunted season. And they're due for one. They're annually due for one. Sorry, guys, just two more. We're talking about the East Coast guys now. Let's talk about Maryland. How will Maryland be daunted? Well, people can buy into the hype that is Maryland without realizing what Kevin Willard is and, you know, what he does. I bought into the hype last year. I'm never going to do it again. While just expectations alone are always enough for Maryland to be daunted on the season, I'm really looking at Julian Reese on this one. Julian Reese is coming in as touted as, like, one of the most experienced, one of the most respected forwards in the Big Ten. Please. Please, didn't score a bucket on Zach Edey. Dude, on principle alone, I'm going to say it every time I bring up Julian Reese. Dude, you had to score a single bucket on Zach Edey. Just, you know, just for your own personal constitution, I think you would have to do that. But no, he had 0 points in that game. So yeah, I feel like, how could they be daunted? You know, Derek Queen, he's going to be good. He's going to make an impact right away. But is he going to be able to make an impact against the likes of some of the bigger bodies out here in the Big Ten? I mean, quite possibly. He's coming in as highly touted as he is. There's a reason we wanted him. But if the backbone of that front court is being pointed out as Julian Reese, yeah, that has the looks of a daunted roster to me. Very superficially, by the way. Again, all these are my most, you know, catty and just superficial reasons right now. Lastly, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Why could they be daunted? Well, the single most hyped season in Rutgers basketball isn't because, you know, they have all these guys returning and these guys buying into the program. If anything, it's the opposite. It's they have the new guys, the new blood coming into the Big Ten, because, I mean, we've always seen that just fare so well. A team led by two freshmen in the Big Ten, yeah, that tends to work, right? Clifford Omarui once out of town during what is the most hyped season in Rutgers basketball history. Yeah, of course, he took it for $2 million. Who wouldn't it? But the hype heading into this season and the reality of the possibilities for Rutgers' outlook, yes, these guys could be every bit of the NBA talents that they're touted as. They could live up to it and then some. Even then, this roster, behind those, other than those, the top listing on there, like, it's a daunted roster. It's a daunted roster. Of course, whenever we have to head to the rack, it's going to be a daunting environment. But nonetheless, there are my reasons for Rutgers to possibly be daunted. Just freshmen in the Big Ten. Come on. All right, that was my dumb segment for this week. Thank you for giving me your time, really pushing through that. Let's get on to the Hoosier History Hit, and then we'll get John out of here.
This is your Hoosier History Hit.
For your Hoosier History Hit this week, I wanted to point to Wrigley Field's famous ivy. That ivy's been hanging on those outfield walls since 1937. And how did this idea come to Mr. Wrigley? What would possess him to cover the outfield walls in ivy? Well, that was none other than Perry Stadium here in Indianapolis, Indiana. Perry Stadium was opened in 1931 and named after Indianapolis Indians owner Norm Perry. In that first season in 1931, for reasons unknown to historians, or really Perry himself, he included ivy on the outfield walls. This ivy would grace the Indianapolis minor leagues baseball stadium until the year 1996 when the Indianapolis Indians moved to West Maryland Street and took back the name Victory Field. And it was in this relocation that the MLB basically said, hey, Indianapolis, you cannot no longer have ivy. They were told that that is now in the rules. You need professionally padded walls. And in the rules of MLB baseball, it says that only the Chicago Cubs at Wrigley Field can have ivy. What an absolute crock, considering Mr. Wrigley got the idea after hearing about the Indianapolis Indians ivy walls, going to check them out, being inspired by it, and just loving how it brought a greener, more parky feel to the atmosphere. All this to say, the infamous, the notorious, you know, Chicago Cubs ivy, actually inspired by the Indianapolis Indians ivy. So, there you go. Your Hoosier history hit for the day. Thanks to Nate Spangle on X for bringing that one to my attention. All right, that's going to be it for this week, guys. Thank you so much for giving me the time to get this episode out, giving me that downtime. I am going to ask again. This next episode is going to be coming out in about a 2 weeks' time. I have a bachelor party here, not this coming weekend, but the Tuesday after that, I'll get this episode out for you. So keep a lookout for that. Again, thank you so much for the listen. God bless you and yours, Hoosier fans. You know what? This show may be often daunted, but this program is never daunted. Thank you so much. God bless. Take it easy. Lux et Veritas. Go Hoosiers. Thank you.